Last week we were learning from Jesus that personal evangelism is a lifestyle. I really enjoyed those testimonies tonight, and I was even tempted to start preaching right then. They go right along with the message. You know, if we're going to be like Jesus, evangelism needs to become a way of life. You know, we meet people from all walks of life on a weekly basis, people who need the Lord. And as I shared last week, we often compartmentalize our evangelism and restrict it to just certain times that we witness to people, when it should be everyday evangelism, or at least be ready for everyday evangelism. It would be great if we could speak to one person every day about Christ, but, you know, if we at least make that a goal, that would be great for each of us to do. You know, you think about every person that we meet has an eternal soul. Every person. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. And we may be the only person to tell them about Jesus. I mean, that's an awesome thought to think about. We may be the only one that God sent in their pathway to learn about Jesus. And so we need to be challenged and challenge ourselves to make evangelism a way of life, just like Jesus. I recall early in my Christian life that I had a desire to start a conversation with one of my close friends. He was not a Christian. The desire was there. I wanted to get in a conversation with him and lead that conversation to salvation. But I didn't know how. And I think that probably hindered me most. Other things, fear and things like that. And because of this struggle, I never carried out that desire. I mean, there may have been times I would be in a conversation with him and I'm having that struggle in my heart. I want to talk to him about Christ, but then I don't know how, didn't have the confidence, and so I didn't. And maybe tonight you're like that. Maybe you have the same struggle that I had in my early Christian life. You want to make evangelism a way of life. You want to witness to your friends, your loved ones, your family members. You know, some of us will be with our families this Thanksgiving, and there will be some family members, perhaps, that are not saved. And we need to care about them. We need to pray for them. Pray for an opportunity. You know, a lot of times we never start that conversation because we don't know where to start. We don't know how to turn it to Jesus. The second principle we're going to look at tonight that we learned from Jesus about personal evangelism is this, that personal evangelism begins with a conversation. I know that's profound, isn't it? You know, these are simple truths. I mean, there's nothing hard about them. I mean, last week, it was a way of life. It's something we should do naturally every day when we meet people. But this second principle is that it begins with a conversation. I mean, it's simple as that. A simple conversation with somebody can turn to spiritual things and can lead to the gospel, can cause that person to be confronted with Jesus Christ. It all begins with a conversation, and we learned that from Jesus here in John chapter 4. If you want to go back there, in John chapter 4, while you're turning there, you know, a lot of us, we have this idea in mind, well, you know, I really don't know how to turn a conversation to Jesus. If a person was to walk up to me and say, what must I do to be saved? Or, Or how can I know Jesus and how can I know that I have eternal life? I'd love to share with them how the gospel. But it seems to be one of the struggles in developing this evangelism as a way of life is the problem is we just don't know how to get started. We don't know how to turn it to Jesus. But let's read in these first 10 verses. We read 42 verses of this chapter last week, so we're just going to read these first 10 tonight. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to learn from Jesus how to be a personal evangelist, how to talk to others about Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us just to grab hold of this very simple principle and follow some of the steps to leading that conversation to spiritual things. Lord, tonight I pray your Holy Spirit would guide and lead, and that you would speak to our hearts tonight and challenge us with this subject, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so tonight we're looking at this principle Jesus teaches us. It begins with a conversation. That's what we find here. Jesus was on his journey. They were going up into the northern parts of Galilee, and he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And here he is sitting on the well. A woman comes walking to him, and Jesus starts a conversation. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, that's where it began. It began with a conversation. And, you know, we could go back to the message last week, and we talked about, you know, how Jesus saw people as sheep without a shepherd. He was very passionate about the lost and reaching the lost with the gospel. Those are some things we talked about. If we're going to make evangelism a way of life, we need to have that same passion Jesus had. We need to see people as lost. And so here Jesus sees this woman walking, and even though she's a Samaritan, and John gives us in this editorial comment, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, explaining why this woman was telling Jesus, you know, why are you asking me for a drink of water, you being a Jew? And I'm a woman of Samaria. So John gives that editorial comment, you know, that they didn't have any dealings. But, you know, Jesus didn't allow that to prevent him from this conversation. He didn't allow that cultural or social barrier to stop him. He cared about this woman. And what's interesting about this is when he started this conversation, it just opened up very naturally. I mean, he started with a very simple request. He didn't even ask her, or he didn't even tell her, I want to do something for you, or I want to show you something. No, he started the conversation out, I want you to do something for me. I want you to give me a drink of water. Jesus put himself in the position of need to get the conversation rolling, get this woman talking, and just a simple request for a drink of water. And that's what opened up this conversation about living water. Now, as we get into this subject and how to start a conversation and get things leading towards spiritual things, how do we do that? You know, it begins with a conversation, but how do we take it from just a natural, simple conversation? How do we take it to Jesus? How do we take it to the gospel? How do we lead it to Jesus? I want to just give you a few simple things tonight. The first one is this: there's no one way to do it. You know, we're going to learn from Jesus, if you not just here in John 4, but all of his conversations with lost people. Jesus did not use just one way or method in talking to people. Every conversation you look at, it was just natural conversation. It wasn't this unnatural, abrupt bringing up the subject of salvation. It was just a natural conversation that he would have with them. And as he would talk to them, he would listen to them. And just in this conversation and asking them questions and talking to them, showed his interest in them. And so there's some principles here. We learned that Jesus, he didn't have just one way or one method. He took this woman's natural thirst for water, and he led that to the spiritual reality of spiritual thirst and living water. You know, it wasn't like Jesus came to this woman and said, can I share with you the Roman road's way to heaven? He didn't get with this woman and say, hey, if you died today, you know for sure if you'd go to heaven. And I'm not saying that that's a bad question to ask. I'm not saying we shouldn't ask that question. What I'm saying tonight, that's not the only way to lead a conversation with Jesus. When Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came, you know, Nicodemus is a totally different scenario. We're talking about a Pharisee. We're talking about a man who knew the scriptures, a man who was spiritual. He was religious. He was educated. He came to Jesus with spiritual questions on his heart. You know, I think a lot of times we don't realize, if you look at John chapter 2, the last two verses, right before it comes into chapter 3 in the story of Nicodemus, verse 24, John 2 says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needeth not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know, this conversation in Nicodemus is different. I mean, Jesus being the Son of God, he knew what was in man. He knew what was in the heart of Nicodemus when he came to him. I mean, it quickly went to spiritual things, but you have to understand, this ain't the Samaritan woman. This is not some pagan that has no knowledge of God. This is some man that had a foundation in Scripture. So it's easier when we talk to church people about the Lord. It really is. I mean, it's easier when people come to church and visit us, and then we follow up and we go to their house. I mean, that's easy to bring up spiritual things, because they came to church, they showed a spiritual interest, and you're going from the church, they're obviously going to expect you're going to talk about spiritual things. I mean, that's like Nicodemus. It's pretty easy, but Jesus just got right to the point and said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Jesus had a different way with Nicodemus than he did with this woman. With this woman, he approached it differently. He approached it with just, you know, with water, just a simple, natural desire of thirst. And that conversation eventually led to living water. It led to a conversation of spiritual things. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6, and That led him to, it wasn't really personal evangelism, but that led him to preach to the crowd there and expound to those around him that I am the bread of life. And so here he's in a situation where he just fed people from the bread and the loaves that he had just multiplied, and he used that as an opportunity to teach them about himself being the bread of life, that God sent him down from heaven, and if you eat of him, you'll never hunger again. You know, in John chapter 9, when they came to Jesus with questions about this man that was born blind, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus turn that conversation to spiritual things? Well, he said, I am the light of the world. That's interesting. You know, they were thinking about this blind man, this man that was living in darkness. He couldn't see nothing. And so Jesus uses that as an opportunity to teach them, listen, I am the light of the world. So what I'm saying is that there was just no one way or method Jesus used in taking a conversation and turning it to spiritual things. It was just a natural thing. It was something that he would, it would blow from his conversation, from physical things to spiritual things. And that, this is not only true with Jesus, but if you study the apostles in the book of Acts, you'll find that they did that same thing. You know, when Paul in Acts 17, for example, when Paul was in the synagogue there in Thessalonica, he approached things different than later in that chapter when he preached on Mars Hill. I mean, there in the synagogue, he opening a legion from the scriptures, showing that Jesus is the Christ. I mean, there he is in synagogue, people holding to the Old Testament scriptures. They knew about the Messiah, and so he approached it from that standpoint. But later on Mars Hill, there in Athens, it was totally different how he approached it. He talked about the statue they had that was erected to the unknown God. And he used that to lead them to Jesus, to Christ. And so the point is, I'm trying to say, is that although we have one message, the gospel, there are different ways to get there. There are different ways to introduce that message. That's an important thing that we understand tonight. That when we're in conversation with people, it should free us to know that we don't just have to memorize a Romans road, though that can be helpful. But what we do need to know is the gospel. We need to know the gospel very clearly. We need to know what it's about. We need to know verses that teach about man being a sinner and coming short. We need to know about sin's punishment, yes. We need to know about Christ dying for our sins, being buried, rising again. We need to know the necessity of repentance and faith. Those are things, yeah, we need to know. That's the one message we preach as the gospel. But as I said, there's more than one way to introduce that message. You know, some of you are thinking, wow, that's scary. You know, some of us would rather just have, you just give me something to say. But you know, you think about it. We're not salesmen. We don't need just a cookie cutter message. We need to relate to people as people. We need to have conversation with people as real people. We need to care for them as people. And we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to talk to them about Christ. I want you to look at this verse in Matthew 10. In Matthew 10, in verse 19 and 20. We read these verses a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, but Jesus was about to send out his disciples to preach. He'd give them some instructions. And he says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. You know, that's an essential truth right there in what we're talking about. You know, I have shared with some of you that the way we did evangelism in Ghana was a little bit different than the way most American churches do evangelism. But we would go out in groups, and of course it was very beneficial for training people in how to evangelize, how to take a conversation of Jesus and so on. But I don't think I did this on purpose, but it's the way I did it. It's the way the Lord led me to do it. Was every time, every Saturday we went out, you know, for those first few years, I did all of the witnessing. They did all the listening. It was teaching, training time. And every Saturday that we went out, I used a different text, a different story, a different approach to the gospel. I did not go every single Saturday just sharing the Romans Road. I didn't do that. There were times that I did go to the Romans Road. And I'm telling you that I'm the type of person, I like to be prepared before I speak. I like to know where I'm going to go, what I'm going to say. But in that particular time, I allowed myself to just, Lord, whatever you lead. I'm not making this up, but we would be walking to the village, and I'm carrying my Bible, and the whole time going through my mind, I'm praying, Lord, give me a text, give me a story, give me a verse. And I'd be praying that prayer. And so when we would meet people that would invite us to sit down and talk to them, we would talk to them and kind of get to know a little bit about them and have a conversation with them. And sometimes that's when something would just click. Something would come out that would get my mind going. There would be a verse that would come to mind. There would be a story that would come to mind. There were times that were scary and challenging. There were times I was like, that we would be going through an interpreter sometimes, because in the village there would be some uneducated people. And so one of the guys would be interpreting. So they'd look at me, they're ready for you, Pastor. And I'm like, okay, let's see. Turn in the Gospel of Luke. And I mean, there were times like that. But I want to tell you, I had learned by experience that Matthew 10:19 and 20 is true. The Lord always gave something that was practical, some way to connect with those people in a natural way. Just in that natural setting to connect with them and to lead them to the gospel message. So there's no one way to do it. Number two, experience is essential. How do we lead things towards spiritual things in a conversation? Experience is essential. Let me explain. How you learn to do it is by doing it. You know, a lot of people won't start because they're like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm afraid I'll mess it up. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. You want to know how to learn, how to turn a conversation to spiritual things and then lead them to Jesus? The best way to learn how to do it is not for me to teach you in a class or in a small group. The best way is for you just to go and do it. Get on a grow team. Go with somebody. Watch them. Listen. Observe. Learn. Talk to your neighbor. Practice. Just do it. I mean, there's a lot of things in life like that, is it not true, that we don't learn until we experience it or do it? You know, those people that are very effective at turning conversations to spiritual things, they do it so well because they do it often. I remember when I was in Bible college and it was part of our requirement in personal evangelism, we had to go out and witness to people, and my wife and I were in the same class. And so it worked out great because we were a team. And so I remember one day that our first day that we went out, just her and I together in Springfield, Missouri, we went to the local bus stop. And we got there, we were scared to death. We didn't know what to do. I mean, of course, we'd learned some principles in class. We knew the gospel. We had something we could have shared, but we were scared to death. And so we're going there, and people are standing waiting for their bus, and we're just standing there. We're just standing there. And you know what? We didn't talk to anybody. Not at that time. And so I thought, let's go somewhere else. This is too scary right here. Let's just go somewhere else. And so we walked up the ways a little bit, and there were some teenagers on skateboards. And so we stopped this boy and we started talking to him. And this kid said, "I'm an atheist." I tell you what, I was like, how do I witness to an atheist? I've never witnessed to an atheist before. I'm sitting here. And so I want to tell you, the Lord led us along. I mean, even though we didn't know much, the Lord led us on. And this kid asked us some questions that we couldn't answer. I mean, I'm serious. I couldn't answer them. I didn't know the answer. I don't really exactly remember what one of the questions was. Maybe it was like one of those questions like, you know, who is, what was the question that people asked about? Adam's children, Cain and Abel, where did their wife come from? Or something like that. They'll ask some kind of off-the-wall question, and you're like, well, I never thought of that. I don't know. But I want to tell you what that did, though. We went home, and we started getting in the Bible and studying and trying to figure it out, those questions. So we were preparing ourselves for next time that happened. That's how we learned. We learned by going and just talking to people. You'll never learn any other way. I promise you, there's no other way you're going to learn other than just by going. And I think it is good if you can go with somebody that's maybe experienced in it and just get a feel for it and watch them do it. But there's no replacement for you just doing it. Just getting out there and doing it and watch God use you. You know, it might be scary, but really the only key thing you need to know is the gospel. You can't mess it up. I mean, if you know the gospel, you can't mess that up. I mean, you may get stumped or you may get questions that you don't. Just be honest and tell them, I don't have the answer to those questions, but I will try to find out the answer and get back with you or whatever. But just get out there and talk to people. That brings us to this third point. Prayer makes the difference. You know, prayer makes the difference. Part of trusting God to help you is praying about it. You know, you can know every possible way under the sun how to take a conversation and lead that conversation to spiritual things, to Jesus. But if God never opens that door and gives you the opportunity, what good does it do? I mean, you need to pray. God, help me. God, open up a door. I believe there's two things that we ought to be praying about. Number one, we should be praying for the opportunity. Number two, we should pray for the boldness. You know, I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul even understood this. You know, Paul was an apostle, he was a preacher, he was a church planter, but Paul even understood the necessity of prayer for God to open up doors and give boldness and to be able to preach. Here he asked a church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6:19, and he said, "And for me." Now verse 18 says, "Praying always." And then he goes to verse 19. He says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Even the apostle himself, he said, "I want you to pray for me. Pray that God would give me boldness and help me to say what I ought to speak." If Paul needed it, I guarantee you, you and I need it. We need to pray. Pray, God, give me boldness. You know, a lot of times fear is probably one of the biggest factors in keeping people from ever starting a conversation and leading that person to Jesus. But you know what? Prayer. Just pray and go. Just pray and go. Just pray and do it. You know, listen to these testimonies tonight. Just think about if someone didn't boldly go to them and speak the gospel. Where would they be? Like Jackie said, she probably wouldn't be here if James hadn't gone and invited them to church. And somebody cared. Somebody made a connection. Somebody brought them here. They heard the gospel and were saved. Look in Colossians 4 and verse 3. Notice what Paul said there. Not only did he ask prayer for boldness, but Colossians 4 and verse 3, he prayed for an open door. He said, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Here he talks about a door that God would open unto us a door of utterance. I wonder what would happen this week if we took these two prayers and seriously prayed about these two things. God, give me boldness this week. Just talk with one person. God, open a door this week. Just one door. That's all I'm asking, Lord. Just open one door. Give me utterance. Give me boldness. Help me to speak as I ought. It's simple as that. You see, personal evangelism, it begins with a conversation. There's no one way to do it. But we learn that prayer makes the difference. Just getting out and do it. Experience is essential. You know, if I could add a fourth thing, I would add this. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, that goes back to Matthew 10:19-20. You know, I think a lot of times that, especially when we lack experience, that we get in a hurry. You know, I remember when I was a young Christian, the zeal that I had. You know, we need that zeal, but I lacked wisdom. I lacked tact. I lacked some common sense. And you know, we can get in such a hurry that we were so abrupt with introducing the gospel. And we set people on a defense or putting up a wall, and we don't get anywhere with them. But you know, with Jesus, it was just like a natural conversation. He would be talking to people, and as he was talking to people, maybe asking questions, and or they would ask him questions. He would be listening to them, and they would see that he cared. And as he went along, he would lead that conversation to the gospel. You know, Jesus, even Jesus, the Son of God, according to Luke chapter 4, was filled with the Holy Spirit. You can read there. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, Luke 4:1, Luke 4:14. He was filled with the Spirit as he went out to preach. See it in verse 15 and 8. In verse 18, he talks about the prophecy in Isaiah when he was in Nazareth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and anointed me to preach the gospel." Even Jesus relied upon the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus had to be filled with the Spirit to witness. You get in the book of Acts, you look in the early church. Acts 4:8 would be an example. When Peter, filled with the Spirit, then he began preaching. Acts 4:31, they were all filled with the Spirit and they began to speak the Word of God boldly. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not going there because of time, but you can go and study the early church. You can study Jesus. You can see that when they witnessed, they were dependent on the Holy Spirit. Not their own wisdom, not some kind of method or plan, but just the Holy Spirit helped me. Just be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the message this morning. If you want to overcome ingratitude, be filled with the Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be giving thanks always for all things. Same is true about witnessing. If you're filled with the Spirit, you know what? It's not going to be that hard. You can overcome that fear. Well, the Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. Just make sure you know the gospel. Make sure you know what salvation is all about. You know, I want to just, before we conclude this message, I just want to just some practical tips. You know, when you're in a conversation with somebody, because I said sometimes we can get in a hurry, we can go too quickly, we can get ahead of God. But when you get in a conversation, people ask questions, you know, of things that they're experts on. You know, like, for example, their family. Are you married? What's your wife's name? Do y'all have children? How many children do you have? What's your children's names, and how old are they? You know, that's something they want to talk about. You're showing interest. You're asking questions about their family, about themselves. Where'd you grow up at? Where do you work? What are some of your hobbies? What do you like to do? You know, some of those things just to get things flowing and going. People, let me tell you, like to talk about themselves. Just ask questions about them. And you know, as you're going along with this, you're learning about that person. You're getting some information, and that's going to help you turn in that conversation to Jesus. You know, as you get along, you could ask a question like this. This is a good leader into spiritual things. It could be, do y'all go to church anywhere? That's a good thing. I mean, because at this point, as you're in this conversation, their defenses are down. But if you go up to them and you say, "Hey, buddy, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven or hell?" Immediately, there's a defense put up. They're not good. I mean, that wall's going to be there. You don't want to start that way. You get to know the person, get in conversation, get the conversation flowing, and then lead it towards that. Do y'all go to church anywhere? Or maybe if you're talking about their marriage, you ask them, "Well, how's your marriage going? How's your relationship with your wife?" "Well, I'm not happy." "Well, what would you think that makes people happy? What do you think are the keys to having a happy marriage? What do you think needs to change in your marriage to make you happy?" You see, you're talking about something that they care about. And then that may eventually lead to this. Well, you know, let me tell you my testimony. When me and my wife, we first got married, I wasn't happy either. We were having problems in our marriage. But you know what made the difference? Then you start telling them, Jesus Christ. You know, it just naturally leads right in. You know, so I didn't really have a plan, but as the conversation goes along, I was able to use my testimony in my own marriage and how I found Christ and how that made our marriage better. So start with things that they know about, their personal lives. You can lead to church, things like that, or other questions that would be of a spiritual nature. Like I mentioned, what do you think makes people happy? And so on. And these questions, what you're doing, you're demonstrating your interest in that person. You're showing that you care. And listen to what they say. Listen. Be interested in them. Listen to their stories. And have genuine concern for them. And as the conversation moves along, you're praying, Lord, lead me, give me wisdom, lead them to Christ. Lead the conversation to Jesus. It's really not hard, to be honest with you. It's not as hard as we make it out to be in our minds. In our minds, we think, man, this is hard to talk to people about the Lord. It's hard to get the person to spiritual things. And because we put up all these things in our mind beforehand thinking, oh, what if they reject me? Or what if, you know, forget all that. Just how many of you like to converse with people? I mean, a lot of you do. A lot of you just like to talk. That's all you have to do. And that's that's our principle we're learning from Jesus tonight. It begins with a conversation. Simple as that. It's not anything hard. But you're never going to turn that conversation to Jesus if you never start that conversation. Simple as that. You got to start. So next time you go to the grocery store, instead of just trying to hurry up and check out and get out of the store, look around. You see people, try to look at them through the eyes of Jesus and start a conversation. Oh, you have a beautiful little boy there. And the boy's over there. He's well behaved. No. But, you know, there's all kinds of conversation, you know, openers. You can open a conversation and, you know, you may not have a lot of time in a grocery store or something like that, but, you know, if we arm ourselves with some gospel tracts and, you know, just maybe get to talk to them and say, hey, how long have you lived in Dumas? And, you know, just a simple conversation. Even if you don't get to share the gospel, I mean, you could say, hey, I just want to give this to you, and I want to invite you to come to our church. It's not hard. You never know. Might be the next Jackie and Steve. Come to church, get saved, change their life. I will say this, that every person here tonight has been equipped. If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you've been equipped by God to be a witness. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. We're all equipped. Let's stop beating ourselves down and think, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do this. I don't know where to start. You're equipped. God has equipped you. Go out there and start a conversation. Simple. You may not get to the gospel this time, but you might get to the subject of church. You might get to give them an invitation to church. Maybe you might find out y'all have common interests and live in the same neighborhood, and you say, hey, your kids are the same age as my kids. Maybe we ought to get together some Saturday and our kids play. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't take much. If we want to be like Jesus, it needs to be natural like that, a way of life. And it begins with conversation. Let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Father, tonight we're so grateful for the example of our Savior and how that He was so passionate about lost people. How that He, everywhere He went, He met people and He started conversations, and He would lead those people to the gospel. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to see tonight that it's not as complicated as we make it. That You've given us Your Holy Spirit to indwell us. You've given us Your Word. You've given us the gospel. Lord, You've saved us. And Lord, we understand that we were saved by faith. It wasn't by works. It was just simple faith in Christ. Lord, You've equipped us to tell others. Lord, there's people that we come across on a weekly basis that we may be the person that You want to use to reach that person with the gospel. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to overcome some of the hindrances in our own minds and hearts. And Lord, that we'd just allow the Holy Spirit to use us. That we'd just be moldable. Lord, that we'd just be obedient and willing. Lord, I pray this week that You would, the challenge tonight that I give to the church is that each of us would pray for an opportunity to speak to someone this week, whether it's a family member, a stranger, or a friend, and that You'd give us the boldness to do it. Lord, that's a very simple thing for us to pray tonight. Lord, that we would not leave here tonight and forget about this, but Lord, that this would be something that we'd be thinking about all week long, something that we would be praying about. Lord, we could make an eternal difference in somebody's life just by caring, just by opening that conversation. Lord, I pray that You'd do something great this week through us. And Lord, help us to see what could happen if we would just follow through in this. What could happen next Sunday when we come to church and give testimonies? It may be that someone might be here that because we took the time to open that conversation with them. Someone might trust Christ as their Savior and their eternity be changed. Lord, help us to see what can happen if we just follow through and be like Jesus. Lord, thank You for the challenge. Thank You for Your Word. Bless this time of invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.